Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Bill McKee. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org.
This morning I want to pick back up in our series of messages on stewardship. There are many laws that govern humanity in this world. There are society laws. We're familiar with those. We have signs and various things that remind us of those laws. There are scientific laws, laws that govern the workings of scientific theories, philosophical laws, laws that govern the philosophical aspects of our society. There are natural laws, laws and absolutes that exist in the working of the natural world. How many know about gravity? Huh? When something slips out of your hand, there's a natural law that comes into effect there, something that we understand, but we don't understand. I doubt that there's a half dozen people in this room that could come up and give us a really full explanation of how gravity works. And yet we know that it does, right? That precious glass vase that you have, or vase that you have, or that dish that you want a complete set, and it starts slipping out of your hand, and you realize there's a natural law that is about to come into effect called gravity, and it's going to pull that glass or that vase down to the ground and cause it to shatter. Can I ask you this morning how many have experienced that natural law of gravity? You should, because you're still sitting in your seat, not floating around in this room, which has some neat implications, especially for a curtain, doesn't it? There are laws of physics, natural laws, that have been defined and explained by men such as Isaac Newton and Albert Einstein. Newton's three laws of motion, which describe the basic rules about how motion of physical objects changes. Newton's law of gravity that I mentioned, conservation of mass and energy and conservation of momentum. You've probably heard of E equals MC square. Mass was a manifestation of energy and how it's affected. Laws of thermodynamics, having to do with the conservation of energy as it relates to heat and heat loss, gain. Electrostatic laws, the formulation of relationships between electrically charged particles to create electrostatic force and fields. And then there's the invariance of the speed of light, the insight which led to Einstein's theory of relativity. Now I can tell you're probably as excited about all these laws as I am this morning. And yet all of these things are at work in us and in our surroundings. Whether we understand them or not, they exist. And many of them have existed since the beginning of creation. They have been at work. I'm very thankful for gravity this morning. One, that I can keep my feet planted on the ground, but also the fact that the gravitational pull of the sun keeps the earth at the exact distance that it needs to be from that sun so we don't burn up or freeze to death, although you'd kind of wonder on a day like today. All of these laws and theories, there's a governing principle that provides a basic framework for building these laws and operating in them. In science, it is referred to as cause and effect. Also known as, and they're using this more today, causality. It's a relationship between cause and effect. I want to show you this morning from the Word of God how in stewardship there is a natural law that we know and understand, but I don't think we think about quite enough. And so maybe this can be a reminder this morning. In this session, I want us to discuss the spiritual law that parallels its cause and effect and certain other laws. And our study here is going to kind of zone in from a stewardship aspect of how we use this law. When I say it, you're all going to know it just like that. And you will, in the immediate sense, feel like you know all about it. And yet how often we neglect this law. It is the law of sowing and reaping. Okay? If you have your Bibles, Galatians chapter 6 will give us a foundation today. Galatians chapter 6, beginning in verse number 7. And since it is Valentine's and I need something to quantify as we move through this message this morning, I thought that we would talk about the stewardship of love. Turn to somebody close to you and tell them you love them. I noticed several of you didn't turn to your mate. That's really scary. So, well, what do you want? I already gave him a card. And she got flowers, too. I mean, how many times can you tell her? Do not be deceived, Paul says. God is not mocked, or God cannot be mocked. A man sows, man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Amen. Did you know there's a lot of things that you do on a day-by-day basis that are accident-prone? I read this. I don't know that it fully has anything to do with what I'm preaching, but I like this, so I'm going to share it. Brushing your teeth and gargling. In any given year, well, this was a particular year, 3,925 people were injured brushing their teeth and gargling. Reading. 11,243 people were injured while reading. Barbecuing. 15,952 were injured barbecuing. Probably like this one guy here, I read about him. July 3rd, 2006, a Delaware man decided to use gunpowder rather than charcoal or lighter fluid to get his grill glowing. The unorthodox fire preparatory method blew up on him. He was severely bruised. Police said, the man was intoxicated. How about this one? Stapling paper. 15,974 people are injured. Bowling, 17,916 people. Riding a stationary bike. 43,117. Bicycling, I can understand this one a little more. 534,883, and driving a car, 2,788,000 people were injured. You got to be careful. brushing your teeth. We understand this natural law of sowing and reaping, or cause and effect, that what we do has ramifications. We set our course and we do things, and then we live out the result of those actions. Let me just ask you here this morning, those of you here in the house, I can't see the others. But those of you who are here, how many of you have an understanding of this law of sowing and reaping? Okay? Now, how many will be honest this morning and say, I know it, I understand it, but I don't always live it? You see, stewardship of what we know and what we understand can be just as important as being stewards over the things that God has given to us. As I read through the Bible, I'm reading in the portion of the Proverbs where he is describing and pushing forward wisdom. You know, that part that says the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, and things like that. Have you ever read that? It's in the Bible. The book of Proverbs. This is the Bible. I'm trying to find that point where you agree. No, forget it. Coming to this place, folks, that we are stewards of information and things that God has given us an understanding of that can have a positive or negative effect upon our lives. If we could engage what we know and begin to live it, we can be better stewards of what God has given to us. How many of you this morning would like to be dumb as a rock? Nobody? Okay, how many of you are thankful this morning for the knowledge that the Lord has given you? Okay, now this may surprise you. He didn't just give you that knowledge because he likes you. He has given you that knowledge because he has given it to you as a trust. You and I are stewards of that knowledge. Now, I said this morning I'm going to use love, and that is an absolute, because the most powerful of all the love goes beyond feelings. It's an act of will. In the scripture, it is called, in the Greek language, agape. It is a God love or a God-like love that we see expressed and manifest from him first to us. Now, I can ask you this morning, and I think I know the answer before I even ask. How many of you want God's love in your life? Yeah, come on, God. I want you to love on me. I want you to really love me. And here, let me read to you the kind of love that we want from God. Patient. Kind. One that doesn't boast. That is not proud. That doesn't dishonor others. Is not self-seeking. Is not easily angered. Keeps no record of wrongs. Does not delight in evil, but rejoices in truth. A love that always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. A love that never fails. Come on, church. Is that the kind of love you want from the Lord? That's the kind of love that he gives to us as stewards. come on, let the Spirit preach this morning. Not my words, but let the Holy Spirit speak inside of you. You see, in the same way that we desire that kind of love from God, and even come because we know He is this loving God, we come to expect. Even the point when we fail, we turn to Him and say, God, I know that You love me. And we will begin our pleading for His forgiveness right there. I know that You love me because You have told me You love me. And You are love. And I'm counting on You today. And I want you to hear this morning the echo coming back from that, where God says, and My love has been given to you. You are a steward of My love. You see how easy it is for us to forget? I mean, love keeps no record of wrongs. As a steward of love, I have to be sensitive and cognitive of that truth that God has given love to me. As a steward, I am to give that love to others. See, what does this have to do with sowing and reaping? Because he said, Paul says it right here, if we sow to the flesh, we will of the flesh reap corruption. If we sow to the Spirit, we will from the Spirit reap everlasting life. We want the everlasting life part. But we need to recognize that when we allow other things, other aspects, you say, well, I can't help it. I have anger within me. You're letting the law of anger in you to trump the glory of God's love inside of you that says, I keep no record of wrongs. Patience. Follow me? Listen to me this morning. This is not a hard sermon. Don't send me a text this week and say, oh, you slapped me today, Pastor. Oh, I get those. As stewards of God's resources, we must remember, he says it here, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. In other words, you can't pull one over Him. You may think He may not see. You may think, oh, He doesn't know what's going on inside. Yes, He does. He knows exactly what's going on inside of us. Whatever a man sows, he reaps. Can you see the power of this, stewards? That as we sow from the things that God has given to us, it has an eternal pull to it. It has a God pull to it. We can be more like Him as we are living out our stewardship of love. Oh, it's easy in our flesh, easier in our flesh, to go and buy a card at Hallmark or Walmart or drugstore. And we stand there and we read them until we get just the right words. Not too much, not too little, but just right. That describes that emotion, that feeling that we have for that individual. When 1 Corinthians 13 has given to us the standard of what God has put inside of us. And can I tell you, what is coming out of us, if it doesn't equal that, then we're missing out on the eternality of what God has put in. You see, as a steward, you and I have the capability and the awesome responsibility and the glory, if you will, to be operating in this perfect love of God. Isn't that amazing? I said, isn't that amazing? That God would put His love in us, that He would entrust us with His love. You see, if there's anything, and the sowing and reaping aspect, I could use all different kinds of illustrations this morning. I'm just camping out here at love. But understanding, if we sow the stuff of this world, the stuff of our flesh, if we let anger prevail, if we let, you know, the need to always be right, the need to prevail in every argument. You see, that's the cry of the flesh. That's what our flesh says. You got to do this. They're going to run over you if you don't. You got to stand up for yourself. You've got to. And the love of God is in there saying, no. Let them see me through you. A couple weeks ago, we started on Wednesday night kind of talking about prayer and the power of prayer, and I was trying to get across the power that we have as believers in prayer. And I made a statement that we don't have to go march because of the power that we have as believers. We can change this world. But most of us will turn to something we can do in the flesh rather than what we can do in the spirit. But what we need to understand is we will reap the harvest where we sow. If I sow in prayer, I can reap the miraculous. If I sow in my flesh, the most that I can hope for is a reaping out of my flesh. See, we want to take our stand, but we as believers have a different stand. We need to take a stand in what God has put in us. Let it soak in. See? Take your stand in the love of God. Now, see, that doesn't necessarily, I can take it to many passages in Scripture, and this loving God, He draws lines. That is not to say that you have to embrace everything and anything that everybody and anybody is doing. That's not love. But how you react to what others are doing will be a visual and an absolute of God's love in you. When you discuss with people things of this world, do they walk away from you with a greater understanding of the power of God's love, God's purposes in you? Or do they walk away with a greater understanding of your flesh and how you see things? See? As a steward of the information and the love and the power that God puts inside of me, I have an opportunity to sow in this world the love of God. Oh, love of God, so rich and pure, We will glory in His love. We will sing of His love. We will cry out for His love. And He's put it inside of us. And He says, here, this is me. 1 John says, God is love. So when he comes and camps out in us by his Holy Spirit, he is placing that love inside of us, and then we become stewards. And then this law, if you will, of sowing and reaping is standing there before us. Will I sow out of my flesh, or will I sow out of the Spirit of God's love? But I've got to be right. No. We need to be a city set on a hill that can't be hid. We need to be the light of the world. We need to be the salt of the earth, church. Huh? There's enough people who are marching and yelling and screaming and carrying on and letting their, you know, manifesting everything that they can in the flesh and letting their voices be heard and all of this. Now let me slow down here a second. If that's you and you want to do that, that's fine. What I'm giving you a distinction this morning is the results. When you sow to your flesh, you will of the flesh reap corruption. I didn't say it. The Word of God says that. When you sow to the Spirit, you will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. That's not just in you. That's in other people. When other people begin to hear the love of God flow out of you, they even may know you. They've known you for years. And they may bait you to see how you're going to react. Come on, church. You know? I'm going to just ask them, hey, what'd you think about that trial this week? Huh? Well, that got your attention, didn't it? Some of you are sitting there just wishing you could talk to me about it. And we can have enjoyable conversations in that, even if we agree or disagree. But again, what's the effect? Where the change comes? We can gather together and we can march down to the state house and we can feel good that we have done that because we have taken our stand in our humanity. But what I'm telling you this morning is, as stewards, we can move into a different realm. Paul says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty. They are mighty, church, through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And if you haven't noticed, there are a lot of strongholds. But if we would be so intensely desirous that what God has put in us would be sown out to a world that doesn't know God, does not have an appreciation for his love, then literally every word that comes out of our mouths. I like what the scriptures, David said, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Huh? Come on. I'm trying to alert you where your power's at, church. Because see, you just as one human being, yes, you can unite with other people and you can yell and you can scream and you can carry on and you can lift your voice. And if you want to do that, fine and dandy. But listen, if you are a believer and the Spirit of God is in you and the love of God is in you and the power of God is in you, then you are a steward of those things. And if you will be willing to release those things in the world, eternal things happen when God's people begin to move in God's things. The world doesn't understand faith. You say, well, Pastor, I'm afraid to express faith because you see, you know, God doesn't always do what I ask. So I'm really concerned that you know, if I say that I'm going to pray or something, rather, you know, it may not happen. You're worrying about God's part. The part that he gave to us, he said, ask. Seek. Knock. Talk to me. Call upon me. Come on. You that know the word of God, you know what I'm talking about. These are all scriptures. He's calling out to us. He says, you ask. So, well, I'm afraid to pray over that person because I'm afraid of the results. You let God take care of the results. You take care of what God has given to you as a steward. He said, look, I'm going to put my love. I'm going to put my power. I'm going to put all these things into you. And if you'll listen, if you'll realize, your faith will grow. You will reach out in prayer. And let me be in charge of the answer. Well, but if I'm loving toward that person, they're so mean. They'll run over me. You don't know the power of God. A kind word turns away wrath. Love covers over a multitude of sins. That word there is actually transgressions or hurts or failures or struggles. You and I, we've got power in us, church. We're like these bundles of power. We're an atomic bomb. Thermonuclear bomb that God has put together and sent out into the world, full of the power and the glory and the presence and the awesomeness of God. He's just looking for a people who will sow it into the world, who will put more confidence in what the Spirit of God has put in us than they put in their own flesh. Well, I've got a good argument for this. You know, I received and I don't know, maybe listening this morning, I'm not putting this down. I received this week from an individual in Australia. I'm assuming that they've seen our program or something or other, but what is in essence a book refuting one of our doctrines of baptize him in the name of Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And this individual wrote all this and is wanting me to read it and then react to it. Good luck. I can tell just from reading the introductory letter that he sent to me, he's wanting an argument. I don't argue over the Word of God. I'll listen or read. I'll tell you how I see it. And then we rest. God did not appoint me to have to convince everybody about his word. To exhort it. To lovingly present it. What you do with this message this morning, that's totally in your hands. Don't ever walk out of here saying, oh, Pastor beat me up this morning. No, Pastor never comes into this sanctuary to beat anybody up. I come into this sanctuary to impart truth to you that I know is already in your life, and God has made you a steward over that truth. And it's your opportunity to move in that power that God has given to you. Before I'm done here, and I should be done already, but I'm going to keep going. I won't give any false promises. This sowing and reaping thing has connected to it quantity. You understand what I'm saying? See, he says, with the measure that you give, it will be given back to you. There is a part of this law of sowing and reaping. It's the same way you understand this. Those of you that plant a garden, some of you do not have the space to go out and plow up. You can only do it in little pots. You can only do it in a little container thing that you make, build or whatever, and fill full of dirt. And so then you put out four or five tomato plants, and you realize, I'm not going to get enough out of this to feed the whole neighborhood. Because you understand sowing and reaping. You're going to sow this many. You know that you're going to get a certain amount out of it. On the other hand, if you've got the space and you got a big tractor, you get out there and you plow, and you're going to expect a grand return. Amen? Come on, that's easy. Amen. Same way in your spiritual life. Same way in your spiritual life. What are you wanting from God? Where are you wanting to see the love of God manifest in your life? Yes, yes, I do. I want him to love me like crazy. Then you're going to have to let some of his love out. Here's the tough part. Just like planting those plants, sometimes the soil is hard. You and I, we have got to be willing, folks, to love and love and love. Even if we don't see the return of that love. Because just like God to us, I need his love today. If I live that long, I need his love tomorrow. I'm going to need his love on Tuesday. Somewhere around the edges there, I'm going to make some mistakes. I'm going to do what Bill wants rather than what God wants. I don't know about you. I'm going to be done. Whatsoever a man sows, a woman sows, that will they also reap. God has already sown into our lives a whole lot of stuff. Love, forgiveness. Let's just take those two. He's ready this morning because of his love to forgive you for all of your sins and to cleanse you from all of your unrighteousness. That's how much he loves. If you have the love of God in you this morning, you are a steward of that love. As a steward, you have an opportunity to sow from your flesh or from his spirit. When that person cuts you off in the car, takes that parking spot that you're eyeing and trying to get around there to it and just about ready to turn the corner and turn right into it. It's the second one from the door and it's freezing cold outside. You think, I can make it. And they swing around and cut you off and swing into that parking spot. And that's the moment. When we sow to the flesh, we will of the flesh reap corruption. When we sow to the Spirit, we will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. You are powerful people. turn right now. This is altar time, okay? Turn, would you, to somebody and holler across to them, you are a powerful person. Now let's make sure you know what you're saying. Because of all that God has put in you. You're powerful. The only question as we leave this house this morning, the only question is, how will we sow? And what will we be expecting to reap? Sow from the power of God that He's put inside of you, and you will reap everlasting reward in your life and from others. Sow to your flesh, though it may feel good in the moment. Huh? When they get that parking spot and you yell something. No, not anybody in here. You know somebody that would yell. Huh? Father in heaven, thank you. It's amazing that the God of the universe would entrust to people such as us the most valuable things of your person. Your love, your mercy, your grace, your goodness. You have imparted to us and made us stewards. Master, I pray this morning as we depart from this house that we would take a full dose of understanding that says, whatever I sow, I will reap. If I sow to my flesh, though my flesh may thoroughly enjoy it for that moment, it has no promise. But if I sow to your spirit, if I sow out of all the things you've put inside of me as a believer, there is an eternal, eternal return. Bless us this morning with that knowledge, and not just in this room, but especially as we walk out of here and go into a world that is suffering in darkness. On this Valentine's Day, may love be alive within us. I'm thinking, Lord, that there may be those that are sitting in this room that need to make a phone call this afternoon because of your love. They may need to make a phone call this afternoon to someone that they have said something or done something to, and it's between them and they know it's there. It's a hurt. It's a pain. I pray that your love will prevail and that they will sow your love. They will sow humility because your love is humble. And I pray, God, in keeping with your word, that there would be eternal work done this afternoon as we love our enemies, even as we love those who do good to us. Bless, encourage, strengthen your people as we leave this house this morning. In the precious and glorious name of Jesus, amen. Thank you for your coming today and for your patience in staying. What's that? Communion? Just put it in the holder right there and we'll do this next Sunday. I don't want to rush it, okay? God bless you. Have an incredible week. And Jill, be nice, okay? Love y'all. Have a good week.